Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's the Wednesday edition of Sport Wednesday. Where did I get Wednesday from? Good Lord, it's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. You think I would have known because it's Friday and I get to play this.
Start spreading the news.
See, there you go. That means Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
All right. You confused me there for a second. I thought we were in the TARDIS.
confused everybody. So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look me up on Twitter. I am at Burke Time. Sadly, we don't have Stu yet out there on the Twitterverse, but like I said, we're working towards the end of the year. And it's coming right down to the wire, so we'll have to see if we can figure it out. If not, feel free to ship off questions to me, and I will forward them along. So, all right, there we go. We're up and running. Look at that.
All right, another Friday edition.
So, yes. So, yeah, I was trying to make sure my fantasy stuff was all set after – you know, yesterday's games and everything. I just got to make sure I got the right guys in for Sunday. So.
Yeah, you don't want to make mistakes. It costs you some money.
You know, that's always the worst thing is, you know, you get the guy, you know, the guy ends up being in who's hurt or, you know, he's questionable. You know, like I have that Marquise Brown from the Ravens and he's been questionable all week. I just read today that he's now more doubtful than questionable. So I took him out of the lineup just to be safe, and then I'll go back and check on, like, early Sunday morning to see if anything's changed. But, you know, this way, if I don't get to it, at least I have a non-injured guy in the lineup.
Yeah, and what's the deadline for Sunday for getting everything in?
You can actually go right up until kickoff. So, you know, you can go right up till, you know, 11:59 or whatever the time frame they have is there. Of course, you know, with my wonderful AT&T U-verse internet, I would never dare try running up against the wall like that because you damn well know it wouldn't work when I needed it to. So, you know, that would just be bad news for me.
So maybe by 11:30 at the latest, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, and, you know, most of these come out now, you know, now that the NFL is a little more gambling friendly, these things come out pretty early now. So, you know, Las Vegas can adjust the lines and, you know, it's very rare unless something happens in a pregame warm-up that you don't know if a guy's going to be out or not.
And how have you done so far this season?
Actually, I, you know, like in our weekly fantasy leagues, you know, the two we run through here, I'm doing quite well. You know, FanDuel, I'm still having my struggles. For whatever reason, I don't do as well in football as I do in baseball. But I the other day I did pick up money in both of the leagues I was in. Like I doubled my money. The problem was I bet 30 cents and I won like 67, but I guess it's better
wow.
than losing. So.
Yeah, that's for sure. For sure.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah,
IRS
well,
will
you
be
know,
coming
we'll,
after you though, right? IRS won't be coming after you for that though, I don't think.
No. No, definitely not. And, you know, I didn't cash any of it out, so it's still sitting. So, I am okay with that. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I would love to kind of know, you know, like there's free hockey stuff going on right now. You know, they're offering free hockey entries every day. So I've been putting one in, and I've been nowhere close to what these guys are scoring. I mean, you know, I'm scoring between like 100 and 120 points, and the guys who are winning are in the 200s. And I just, you know, I'll admit, you know, hockey is probably my weakest sport. I know less about that than the other three, but I would love to know how these guys are coming up with this.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. I mean, they look at a lot of the same stuff that obviously I do, and, you know, they have access to the same articles. I guess maybe their algorithms are better than mine or something.
Who knows?
Of course, I'd probably have one. But, yeah, I don't know.
You'll be involved with the NBA when it starts next week, I assume, right?
You know, with the NBA, as long as it's, you know, like for that and hockey, as long as it's free, I'll give it a shot. I don't like to spend my money on that stuff because I generally don't do very well. And it's a lot like, you know, I just don't want to throw my money away, basically. So,
right.
You know, even
the
if
the NBA will be
here,
free for a while, too,
here.
Right?
You know, I don't think it'll be free as much because it's a little more popular than hockey. I think at this point they're just maybe trying to draw some interest into hockey. So,
do they have anything in the AHL too, or just the NHL in hockey?
No, they just do the NHL. You know, I mean, they have expanded into some of the other sports. You know, they picked up soccer, and they do college football, you know, along with NASCAR now. So they definitely have, you know, different options out there for just about every sport. But yeah, they didn't do the AF. I am very interested to know if they're going to do XFL. So we'll see.
Yeah, did you see the salaries aren't very great, very, very much for the players in the XFL?
Yeah, no, I read a while ago what they were going to start guys at, and I don't remember what it was, but, you know, I mean, you're giving guys a chance to get themselves back in the league and make a lot of money, so, you know, they're going to take it.
Yeah, and actually, XFL came out pretty well with their decision to run 1 year later because the other league went belly up very quickly.
Yeah.
And now they will they have any competition at all when they run their football?
No. No, they start February 8th of next year, you know, and they had their draft this week, you know, earlier in the week. So, you know, they'll get up and running. And there were quite a few familiar names that were picked. So there is a, you know, obviously not huge name value, but there is some, you know, minor name value that people can get behind if they're, you know, if they're interested.
Yeah, it should be quite interesting to see how well they do over the long haul. I'm sure for the first week or two, they'll do pretty well in the ratings. But the important thing is how they do in weeks 3, 4, and on beyond that.
Yeah, that and then the transition of, you know, can they, you know, get more, you know, like what, last time they got 2 seasons out of it. So, you know, can they manage to, you know, get past that?
With football being so popular, and you think that they do fairly well, but didn't work out for them last time.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of it is what the gameplay looks like. Because, you know, the AAF, you know, they did really well ratings-wise the first week, and I think maybe even a little in the second. But then when you started to watch it and you started to break down, and I understand what they wanted to be, they really wanted to be a minor league system for the NFL, is what they were trying to be. You know, it could be a place where the NFL could send their players to develop, because you don't really have that. You have college and then that's it. So, you know, the problem is people don't want to watch that.
No, they don't.
You know.
You think that AAF would have done well against Alabama, you think, or Georgia, or any of those top teams? You think they would have beaten them?
You know, honestly, I don't think so. I think a really good college college program would have beaten an AAF team. You know, while it could never beat, you know, like the Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL, like they would never stand a chance against like the Dolphins, you know, because we're talking about guys here who are, you know, professional athletes, and, you know, these guys are, you know, while the college kids are big, you know, these guys are gigantic monsters. But, you know, and yeah, in the, you know, in the good old AAF, there weren't a ton of these guys. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, a quality, you know, maybe one of the top four playoff teams would have beaten an AAF team.
Clemson or one of those teams, Alabama, probably.
Yeah,
so,
Clemson's, the Alabama's, you know, look, you know, Ohio State, maybe Georgia, you know, whichever of those four teams end up in the playoffs, I definitely think they would have, you know, it may have been a close game, but I think the in this case, you know, because, I mean, you could go position by the position. It's skill at the skill positions, you know, quarterback, running back, receiver, the college players would have been better.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. And maybe
you
that's
know,
what
because, I mean, you look at it.
I wonder what if they'd lost the interest, the fans, because of the weak level of play in that league. You remember, that a lot of the scores are very low-scoring games, and that's not what they wanted. I'm sure they wanted a higher-scoring games, but it seemed like a lot of the early games, even the third and fourth week, were 16 to nothing or 10, really low scores. And I don't think the fan wants that in that kind of a league. They want a little high-scoring action.
Well, you know, if I remember right, they didn't give themselves a lot of training camp time. You know, and I believe, like, each team only played, like, one actual game against each other. So, you know, those first few weeks, there were a lot of mistakes. And, like, you know, week one, there were a lot of penalties and a lot of turnovers. And, you know, I made it through week one. I caught a little of week two. By week three, I was just checking in. I think by week five, I was done. I would forget the games were even on. So,
yeah, you and everybody
you
else
know, it,
watching, I think, right? You weren't alone, obviously. You weren't alone, obviously, because the ratings were really tanked, and then they just decided that's it, and that league was defunct quickly.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, I understand what they were going for, but, you know, without the NFL support, which is what they needed, you know, they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, it was different in the days when the AFL were formed and was competition to the NFL before the merger. And one thing about the old AFL was the tremendously high-scoring games they had. There's a lot of offense in those games. And I think that's what attracted the fans, and they really became a viable alternative to the NFL before the merger took place.
Yeah, well, remember the USFL, you know, they, you know, not only did they have some name value players, but they had some really, really high scoring games, you know, and they kind of invented, remember, I think it was Jim Kelly was, oh, good Lord, I forgot what, I think he was on Houston. And, you know, they played that wide open five receiver set, and they threw the ball on every down, and, you know, really created some exciting football. So, you know, they were like a viable option, you know, for, you know, off-season viewing. Obviously, the mistake they made was, oddly enough, it was Donald Trump who wanted them to run head-to-head against the NFL.
Yeah, and how did that work out?
Well, they did win their court case. I believe they were awarded like $1.43 or something like that.
Yeah, they could take that to the bank anytime.
Yeah, you know, I because they did a story on that, and I believe one of the former owners in the XFL actually still has the check. He never cashed it. But, of course, you know, he's a bazillionaire, so it's not like they needed $1.43.
No.
But, yeah, I remember that was one of those Mickey Mouse Network 30 for 30s, and it was actually really good. But, yeah, you wonder if, you know, Trump wouldn't have pushed those guys if that league might still have been hanging around, or maybe got the merger they wanted, because that's what they really wanted, was to merge.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, they seemed to be doing pretty well for a while. And I think wasn't Birmingham the top team in the USFL? I'm trying to think back now. It's been a number of years, but I think they were one of the, the better teams. They were one of the better teams in that when that league was in action.
Yeah, got it. You know, it's been so long now. I you know, not even really kind of thinking about it, but looking here, you know, it looks like they were founded in 1982. So, you know, that was, you know, quite a while ago there.
Yeah, I think it was that long ago. But yeah, there were other attempts at competing. Even in the 40s and 50s, there were some attempts at having alternatives to the NFL, but they didn't last too long. I think there was a team in Chicago called the Chicago Hornets. I'm trying to remember what the name of the league was, but they stuck around a few seasons before they folded. So it's not unique.
Yeah, I remember the WFL. You know, I don't know if they were the World Football League or not at the time. There were actually two versions of that. You know, the one started here, and I actually had a cousin that was a running back on the team from Florida. You know, and then they kind of brought it back, and they actually had it where the teams were overseas, and that was the World League of American Football. So,
yeah, there's been some attempts, but it's going to be tough now to compete. Maybe the XFL will at least generate some interest past the first two or three weeks of the season starting next February.
Yeah, just looking here, the USFL had three championship games. The Michigan Panthers won the first one. The Philadelphia Stars won the second one, and then the Baltimore Stars won the third one. I'm wondering if maybe Philadelphia moved to Baltimore after that, and it up. But the important thing, and what they need is, what the XFL is going to need, and I don't remember who they're hooked up with, television coverage. And that was a lot
time.
Of problems.
They did have some TV coverage when they started the league a few years ago.
Yeah, well, remember, they were with Dick Ebersol, so they had that in at NBC. You know, and this time, and that was part of the AAF's problem was the fact that, those first games, like that first week was on CBS,
right.
And everything's great,
yeah.
And here you go, you're on a big network. Well, then after that, they jumped to the CBS Sports Network, which I honestly don't know if anybody gets, if I could say a large portion of the team's people get, and I believe TBS or TNT also showed some gain. But, yeah, you need that big major television people, behind you and pushing your games, and the CBS Sports Network just isn't going to do it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this works out in their second incarnation. And have you read anything about any kind of rule changes, things they're going to be doing different in the XFL that they don't do in the NFL?
Yeah, I was actually just looking at it here, and they're running quite a few odd or possibly interesting things here. Like the one here is, this says that the XFL has tested the idea of treating all passes behind the line of scrimmage as lateral passes, therefore allowing more than one forward pass to be thrown on the play. So, those little quick screens we see in the NFL all the time where they, shoot it out to the wide receiver or where the quarterback just pops it up and the man in motion takes it. With this rule, that guy would actually be able to throw the football.
That might make for some interesting plays.
So, yeah, and then, like this one here for special teams, it says fair catches will not be recognized, and the kicking team must give the returner 5 yards of space to recover and return the ball. That's been one of the NFL's big deals because of concussions. So I'll be interesting to see how this works out for the XFL if there's a lot of – a lot of complaints about this.
Well, at least they give him 5 yards to when you eliminate the fair catch, you have to do that, it seems to me. Otherwise, you can really get injured quite severely if there isn't any rule like that with no fair catch involved.
Yeah, and, you know, it looks like there's a lot of special team stuff. On kickoffs, instead of 10 yards, the teams will only be separated by 5 yards. And then what do they say? It looks like they're going to be kicking off from the 35. So.
Well, that might make for some more run backs, kickoff returns now than you see now in the NFL.
Yeah, and now this one, I wish they would have went into some more detail about this one because I don't really understand this one. It says teams will be allowed to option for a typical onside kick, though surprise onside kicks will no longer be possible under the new kickoff rules.
Well,
so I don't know if maybe the fact that they're, you know, if they're only 5 yards away, you can't onside kick.
Yeah, it sounds like that. But what about towards the end of the game when say you're down a field goal, you just scored, you're down 3 points with 35 seconds to go. The only way you can get in, have a chance is if you recover an onside kick. Will it be still permitted at that point in time?
Yeah, it does say they can option for a typical onside kick. So I guess apparently you can say, hey, we're going to onside kick, and then the team's set up like they're going to onside kick. So,
yeah, they.
But yeah,
those things don't work too well.
Yeah,
they don't seem to work very often, though, do they? I've seen a few, but I think the percentage is not in the favor of the kicking team.
So yeah, you know there's actually quite a bit of stuff. You know, like the play clock is going to be 25 seconds. You know, to try to get that moving. Interestingly, point after touchdowns, there won't be extra point kicks. What they'll do is they'll have a scrimmaging play, like a regular play, and then the point value will depend on how far away you try to score from. You know, if you try a 2-yard attempt, it's a single point. From the 5-yard line, it's 2 points, and from the 10-yard line, it's 3 points. So if you are down, you could try to make up points that way.
So if you set up on the 2-yard line and the quarterback moves back 5 or 10 yards to throw the ball, does that count towards a 3-point play?
No, it's where the ball is snapped from.
Okay.
So like you say, we're going to go for a single point attempt. You put the ball on the 2-yard line. If you're going for 2, it's on the 5. And then if you're going for the big 3-pointer, you know, it'll be on the 10. And I mean, honestly, in today's game, I don't know if their pass defense rules will be different, but, you know, with the way the passing game has evolved, I would just put it on the 10-yard line and go for 3 points every time.
Yeah, you would think so. But that's an interesting rule. That's quite an interesting rule, I think, and that should generate some interest.
Yeah, well, maybe you can tell me about this, because they say here that this rule was in existence during the Stars Football League, which I have never heard of.
No, as I mentioned, I've heard of the All-American Conference and like the ones we talked about, the UFL and the WFL. I haven't heard of that one though. When were they in existence?
Now this is kind of odd because apparently they were actually in existence from 2011 to 2013. But it says here the league operated primarily in Florida, and they had a 4 teams in Florida, 1 in Michigan, and 1 in Louisiana. But I've never heard of any of them. But you know, they only played like 4 game seasons, so that's probably why.
Yeah, they probably did. They have any? They probably didn't have any kind of network coverage. Probably just local team. Local area would pick up the feed for the game, it seems to me, for that kind of schedule.
But yeah, I mean, I, you know, like they don't even list players. I don't even know, You know, it does say teams were restricted to 35 or 36 players. You know, their big thing was they allowed anybody 18 or older to play. You know, and they rated this somewhere between minor league and semi-professional, and you were paid between $100 and $500 per game. But even better, you had to pay your own travel expenses for away games.
It doesn't sound like a very lucrative way to make a buck, does it?
Well, no, yeah, imagine if you're on one of the Florida teams and you're playing in Michigan. Okay, well, I'm getting $500 to play, but what's my airfare, you know, two-way from Florida to Michigan? Well, there's my salary.
Yeah, you think that maybe some of these players are just doing it to be noticed and recognized by the NFL. Maybe
yeah.
It would be something they liked, and they would give them a chance next season in their training camp. That's about all you would think they could expect.
Yeah, well, I could see this making sense for that kid who can't get into college but is really talented. You know, he can to give him a chance to get out there and kind of show what he can do and give the NFL a chance to see him and maybe be like, oh, okay, hey, let's take a look at this guy. But, yeah, other than that, it just kind of sounds like, well, my buddies all got together and we decided to start a league.
Yeah, that's how it works. Now, if a high school player decides not to go into college, he can still play in the NFL after one semester has passed if he doesn't go into college at all.
But no, I believe for football, it's actually two seasons. You know, because freshmen can't declare for the NFL draft. Sophomores can. After your sophomore year, you can. But for freshmen, you can't. Remember, they had the big thing at Ohio State with that Maurice Collette, the running back, wanted to come out after his freshman year. And he was told no, and they went to court for it, and he eventually ended up getting to get in the NFL. He was a gigantic bust, but he actually did end up getting in. Because they worry, and I understand this makes perfect sense. You know, imagine an 18-year-old kid who's not fully developed against a 25-year-old man who's been in the league for a couple of years, is in tip-top shape. Yeah, who's going to win that battle?
Yeah, you worry about the health of the 18-year-olds. So
right.
Maybe that's a wise rule, I think, to at least keep them out for 2 years, even if they don't go to college.
So, but, yeah, and I do give the XFL credit. They have some name value head coaches. They're starting with eight teams, and it's Bob Stoops, June Jones, Winston Moss, Jim Zorn, Pep Hamilton, Kevin Gilbride, Jonathan Hayes, and here's a name you'll remember, Mark Trestman.
Oh, Mark. He's resurfacing.
So... they're all
in the Canadian League, though. Isn't he one of the better known coaches in the CFL?
Yeah.
Probably make more money than playing in
the.
Yeah, he would probably seem like he would make more money as a coach in the CFL than he would in the XFL.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe there wasn't a job for him or something like that, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, probably a good idea on their part to get these guys with some name value. So,
well, you wonder how the name value of a coach would be as compared to a better name value for the players.
Yeah. Well, and there is a little of that, but what I also notice here is, with the exception of the Washington team, the Arlington, Texas team, and the team that's playing in California, they're playing in some pretty large stadiums. The team in New York is actually playing where the Giants and the Jets play, and the capacity there is 82,500. Now, I don't think they're going to fill that, but they've got some big buildings booked.
Do they actually anticipate getting crowds of that magnitude at the XFL games?
You know, I doubt it. I think it was probably just what was available. You know, like the Seattle team is actually playing in the same building that the Seahawks play in. So
if the New York team got 40,000, I think they'd be happy, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, early on, some of the markets might do that. You know, if the teams are good, you know, especially like, you know, the Dallas or Houston teams, you know, because football is probably a little bigger down there than it is in some of these other, you know, the other places they put teams. You know, there's two teams in Texas, of course an L.A. team, Seattle, Washington, the New York team, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. So,
well, those aren't small markets. I mean, those are fairly large markets, at least.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I am a little surprised that no one ever seems to try to put a team in like Alabama or Mississippi, where the, you know, the college game is so popular, and, you know, see if maybe, because, you know, it's off season then as well, maybe you could draw. But for whatever reason, it never seems, you know, or even like a Nebraska or an Oklahoma, where, you know, college football is just kind of rampant, but nobody ever really goes there.
I know that there was a league where Birmingham played. I'm trying to remember the league. Maybe,
yeah.
Didn't Chicago have a team in one of those leagues and played Birmingham in the championship and or one of the top games and lost on the last second field goal? Birmingham winning a championship,
yeah.
But I can't remember what league it was.
Yeah, I do believe that there have been some leagues. It might have been the WFL. It might have been the World Football League that had a Birmingham team. But, yeah, with all the things that have kind of popped up, I don't remember if the AAF went in there or not.
No, I don't think so. I know this was a few years ago when Birmingham was playing in one of those leagues, but I cannot remember the name of the league.
So, yeah, you know, now the World Football League was back in the 70s, was the one I was talking about where my cousin actually played a season or two before blowing out a knee. And they had a Birmingham team. And they also had a team in Shreveport. So,
yeah, you think a team like in the southern market would do well, because they've always loved their football down there.
Yeah, you know, and that's always been one of those things. But, yeah, you know, looking at the teams, you know, they ended up with, and some of them moved around. There were actually two Birmingham teams. They had the Birmingham Americans and the Birmingham Vulcans, the Chicago Fire and the Chicago Winds, the Detroit Wheels. They had the Florida Blazers, who became the San Antonio Wings, the Hawaiians. Did they actually play in Hawaii? Yeah, they did. Okay. The original Houston Texans, who became the Shreveport Streamers, the Jacksonville Sharks and the Jacksonville Express, the Memphis Southmen, who became the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of unique names here. The New York Stars became the Charlotte Stars, who became the Charlotte Hornets. Then they had the Philadelphia Bell, the Portland Storm, the Portland Thunder, and the Southern California Sun were all teams in the World Football League back in the 70s. It looks like, did they only last a couple seasons? Yeah, they 74 and 75 they played.
Well, either you have a phenomenal memory or your internet is working very well today.
No, yeah, my internet's working really well. I remember the league name, but I couldn't have told you any of those team names. So
yeah, it becomes a blur. It does become a blur after a while, and when you think about it, boy, there's been a lot of attempts to have alternative football leagues over the years, and look how many have gone by the wayside. So I'm not sure what kind of chance the XFL will have this time. Maybe they'll do a better job of marketing and a little more serious announcers, and they'll surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, you've got to figure, and, you know, you looking back, like I said, the USFL was actually working. You know, they were doing pretty well, and it looked like they had kind of found their niche there until basically Donald Trump screwed it up. So, you know, he was just so hot on going head-to-head with the NFL because, you know, like I said, basically he wanted that merger. You know, he wanted to be an NFL owner. If you remember, he tried to buy the Buffalo Bills, and they said no.
Yeah, that his arrogance didn't stand him in good stead for that particular venture, did it?
Yeah, well, you know, the humorous thing is, you know, if you're a Democrat and you don't like Trump, you can blame it on the NFL, because if they would have let him buy the Bills, he probably wouldn't have ran for president.
That's very likely. It's too bad he didn't buy the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody, if you're a Democrat, like I said, and you're looking, or you know, just somebody who doesn't like Trump and you're looking for somebody to blame, get on the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm going to stop being a Bear fan because of that what happened with Trump in Buffalo.
Yeah. So, you know, but while we've been rambling around, you know, rambling on here about football, you know, obviously I did not forget that there is an elimination game tonight. You know, the Astros got another, obviously I didn't see the end of the game, but what everybody said was kind of a convincing win last night over the Yankees. So now they're up 3-1. We got game 5 tonight. We're still in New York. I forgot it was the 2-3-2 series. I thought we were going back to Houston, but that would be tomorrow if necessary.
Right, that's right.
You know, it's Justin Verlander against – did it end up being James Paxton? Yes, it did. You know, Paxton lasted all of 2 1/3 inning in his last start. You know, Verlander did scuffle a little bit, but he is Justin Verlander. You got the Yankees going home tonight?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Yes,
you know,
I do
have the starting lineup. Not too many differences. The Yankees have moved some guys around, but the Astros are going with George Springer leading off and right, Jose Altuve batting second, playing second. Michael Brantley hits third and left. Alex Bregman's the cleanup hitter at third. Yuri Gurriel's fifth at first base. Carlos Correa is sixth at short. Yordan Alvarez, who finally got a hit in the series, is hitting seventh. He's the DH. Robinson Chirinos, eighth in catching. Jake Marisnik is ninth in center. The Yankees are going with DJ LeMahieu leading off at first. Aaron Judge bats second and plays right. Gleyber Torres hits third, and he's at second base. Giancarlo Stanton is the big change. He's back in the Yankee lineup with that kind of sort of strained quad, so he will be the DH and hit cleanup. Aaron Hicks hits fifth in center field. Gary Sanchez hits sixth and does the catching. Didi Gregorius is up to the seventh spot tonight. I believe he hit ninth yesterday. He'll play shortstop. Gio Urshela is hitting eighth at third base. And Brett Gardner rounds out the Yankee lineup, hitting ninth, playing left field. So there you go. You like these lineups coming out here?
Oh, I think that's about the best I can do. And are you surprised at the dominance that Houston has shown in the last 3 games?
Yeah, you know, the Yankees have really just not hit. And I did see a stat today, and I don't know the exact number, but apparently they haven't had a hit with runners in scoring position since game one.
Yeah, they are really scuffling. And with such a powerful lineup, Houston has really impressed me. They are back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and, you know, looking here, I mean, the Yankees do have 6 home runs in the 4 games. So, you know, the power is still there, but you're looking at these averages, and again, I get it's a small sample size, but from Aaron Hicks down, he's got the highest average at 167. Gary Sanchez is 118. Didi's at 125, and Urshela and Gardner are hitting 133. You know, Stan's at 500, but I think he's had 2 at-bats or 4 at-bats.
Right.
The only guys really producing are Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, yeah. And what do those two guys have in common?
They both used to be Cubs.
That is, you're right on the money there.
If people don't remember, DJ LeMahieu actually started with the Cubs, and they shipped him off to Colorado. I can't remember who they got for him. But he went with Tyler Colvin for somebody. I don't know how that worked out, though.
Yeah, No, I don't think anybody expected that LeMahieu to be as good as he's been over the course of his career. I mean, he's turned into a terrific hitter. He's really been solid for the Yankees, too, in this series, throughout the playoffs, in fact, along with Torres.
Well, you know, the knock on him was he was a poor defender, but I believe he won a couple Gold Gloves in Colorado.
Yeah, and I'm surprised to see him playing first base. I didn't think that was one of the positions he played. I always think of him as an infielder, but not a first baseman. But he seems to be pretty adequate there. I've seen him make some nice plays at first base defensively for the Yankees.
Yeah, well, and humorously, if you remember this, I know I remember this greatly. When LeMahieu was signed, there was, I believe it was a New York writer or an East Coast writer who really scoffed at the signing because he went on to say how the Yankees didn't need LeMahieu and there would be no place to play him because they had just signed Troy Tulowitzki earlier in free agency. So, you wonder where, you know, LeMahieu's, he's not going to win it, but he's going to get some MVP votes. He'll probably finish top five. You got to wonder where the heck the Yankees would be without him.
They'd be in trouble. Truth be told, that Tulowitzki has not done well since he left the Colorado, has he?
No. He was injury-prone in Colorado. And, you know, like, I know he had one power year with Toronto when he stayed healthy and played 120 or 130 games, but he didn't hit for a very high average. I think he played six games with the Yankees, got hurt, and retired.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for them.
But, huge game, obviously, for the Yankees tonight.
It's a must-win situation, and this is the same, by the way, the same exact scenario, when you think about it, as 2016. Exactly the same scenario. Well, sure, the Cubs were down 3-1, game 5 at home.
Were they? Oh, yeah.
And then they won that game and then went on the road to win the next two in Cleveland. So if the Yankees want to do anything, they have to repeat what the Cubs did in 2016. But I don't think they're going to get the job done. I think Houston's a lot better than Cleveland was in 2016.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, Houston doesn't really have anybody killing the ball either. They have Altuve and Brantley, who are both hitting 353. But, yeah, you look at the rest of their lineup. You got Springer at .118, Bregman's at .182, Gurriel's at .163, Correa's at .176. He has hit two bombs. I mentioned Alvarez just got his first hit of the series last night. He's at .067, and Chirinos and Marisnik don't have a hit.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems that some of these guys with the low batting averages have come through in the right place at the right time. They've come through with some key clutch hits with men on base in scoring position. Their average is not high, but when they got a hit, it was very important for Houston.
Yeah, that's really been the key. Is the Yankees aren't hitting with runners in scoring position, and the Astros are. I mean, if you look back two games ago to that Gerrit Cole start, I think the Yankees had the bases loaded with one out and didn't score. And that kind of set the tone.
Yeah, and they've been poor with runners in scoring position for the entire series. And I think that Houston's going to wrap it tonight, but of course I've been wrong before. What's your prediction?
Yeah, well, you know, I picked, like I said, when we made our preseason picks, I picked Houston to win it all. Again, I did have them beating the Cubs, but that's a different story. So I am sticking with Houston. I believe they do wrap it up tonight. You know what I mean? The way you kind of look at it is, how in the hell do you bet against Justin Verlander? I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He's a stud. You know, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, he's going to grind it out. I'll take Verlander over anybody in the game today, probably.
Right, and even his last start, he didn't have his best start, but he kept runners from scoring. He kept them in contention, and he still wound up with not giving up too many. What did he give up? A couple runs in the last game
his last start. So
I think they're wrapping.
You know, that's all you can kind of ask for. So
So you're thinking that Washington doesn't have a chance to pull a surprise upset in the World Series against Houston?
Well,
so
you know,
they probably
do, but I can't go that way because of my pick. You know, and I mean, what I find humorous is, you know, you look at the season and it was bomb after bomb after bomb. You know, these guys were hitting 800-foot home runs every other at bat. And what's won in the playoffs? Good pitching.
That's the name of the game, especially in the playoffs, pitching and defense.
You know, well, I have heard some people complain. What do you think about this conspiracy before you go on there? I've heard a lot of people complain that they believe that baseball changed the ball back, so we're not using the juiced ball anymore. Are you buying that conspiracy?
No, I mean, there's just too much conspiracy theories going on, and I don't think that happened. I just think that better pitching in the playoffs, and pitching will usually prevail over hitting.
Yeah, well, you know, and that, you know, that's kind of how I looked at it. What I thought was humorous is yesterday I heard guys really complaining about Yordan Alvarez because he hadn't had a hit, and nobody understood why this kid wasn't hitting. And I thought it was actually pretty simple myself. The kid's not hitting because, A, he stepped up in class of pitching. You know, he's no longer facing those third, fourth, and fifth starters that, you know, wouldn't be in any of these rotations that he's faced so far. And he's been around long enough that the league has a book on him. And I just found it interesting that these guys who get paid for it weren't smart enough to figure that out. But yet Dan and I talked about it for about 10 minutes yesterday, and we knew right away what the problem was.
And that's quite logical what you said too. You guys on the beam again, right as always. And it will be interesting, by the way. I was going to talk about Washington just a little bit. They seem to be peaking at the right time, don't you think? I mean, they got some good pitching, but their situational hitting in the NLCS was terrific. They didn't go for the long ball. They didn't always go for the long ball, but they put the ball in play, and they scored some runs, and they swept a very tough team.
Well, first I have to remind you that according to analytics, there is no such thing as situational hitting. You know, I don't want the sabermetric guys calling in and yelling at you. That's 646-478-3753. So, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble with any of those guys. So be careful. I thought they were, you know, they had a very smart approach. And, you know, like the perfect thing for a team like Washington is when you've got Scherzer or Strasburg or Corbin out there on the mound, you can play for one run and win the game 1-0 or 2-1. So it, you know, it makes it pretty, you know, kind of easy for them in certain cases. You know, it's just like, hey, let's get this run home and make the other team beat a, you know, a great pitcher.
Yeah, would be really a feel-good story of the season if Washington pulled off a major upset and won the World Series because they never won a World Series. Of course, we can say the same thing about Houston a couple of years ago too, right?
So, yeah, well, you know, Washington hadn't been there in the 50 years existence of the organization. You know, because remember, they were the Expos, and they never
won. They didn't win. The Expos never won. No, that's right. That's right. So it could happen. And I'm wondering if the layoff's going to hurt Washington at all when the World Series starts.
Yeah. You know, I do wonder. I think it might hurt them in game one. But once they get that game under their belt, I don't think it'll be a problem at all. You know, and again, the important thing for them is I don't know who they'll go with, if they'll go with Scherzer or Strasburg. But if he is loose and flowing and ready, it might not matter because there's a chance that be it the Astros or the Yankees, even with the hitting lineups they had, might not score.
That's true. That's true. If both those guys are on the game, it won't be easy for Houston to win both of those games. But I'm sure Washington would settle for a split before moving to Washington for the three games after that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The sad part is, you know, at least according to what probably baseball is thinking is, you know, if they get a Houston-Washington matchup, they're probably not, you know, while obviously it's two really good teams, they're probably not going to get what you want, because you may get some boring big-time, you know, starting pitchers going 7, striking out 15, you know, 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 type of games that, you know, while baseball fans love and they're fantastic to watch, you know, these new age people get bored and they go away because nothing's happening.
Yeah, there's nothing more exciting than a 2-1, 3-2, 1-0 game in the playoffs, the World Series, even in the regular season, but even more so during the World Series. And I anticipate some low-scoring games.
Yeah, no, I'll be surprised if, you know, either, you know, unless maybe the fourth starter gets involved. And I know, you know, Anibal Sanchez had a great outing for the Nationals against the Cardinals. I don't see that as his long-term prediction, and I don't even know who the Astros are going to use. You know, maybe if one of those guys gets a start, we could get to 5 runs, but the way it looks, I'd be shocked if either team scores 5 runs in a game against a starter.
No, no. And who do you think has a stronger bullpen?
Well, you know, through the season, it was definitely the Astros, but the Nationals' bullpen has been fantastic in the playoffs. You know, so you've got to wonder if maybe it's kind of a push now. You know, I mean, obviously the Astros get the edge because they do have Hector Rondon in their bullpen, and, you know, he can come in and just shut down teams anytime he wants.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you had to toss that one in there, right?
Sorry, I didn't help it. But, yeah, well, isn't that how you bet the World Series? Don't you pick the team that has less ex-Cubs?
That's good. That's good to work that way. But it'll be starting next Tuesday, correct? Isn't that the way it's set up now?
And I do find it odd that, I mean, obviously, if, you know, it ends tonight, you know, the Astros get a couple days off. So, you know, that would be huge for them. But, yeah, they're scheduled Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, whichever AL team wins is hosting, because Washington's a wild card team.
Right.
So, you know, but yeah, just another, you know, big plus for baseball on, you know, initiating that wild card. You know, otherwise Washington would have been at home.
Yeah. And this is a team that won more. They won more games than St. Louis did during the season, even though they didn't win the division. So they're not a slouch by any stretch of the imagination. They did, after the first couple of months of the season, they were probably one of the best 2 or 3 teams in baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they struggled. You know, on July or June 1st, I saw the stat that they actually had as many losses as the Detroit Tigers. Now, I believe the Tigers lost 110-plus games, and the Nationals in the World Series. You know, at that point, I was actually on here saying that they needed to fire Dave Martinez.
Yeah, and they really turned it around.
So,
and they have to be one of the 2 or 3 best teams over the last 4 or 5 months of the season, starting in June.
They were
absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, here, I was actually off on the Tigers' losses. They lost 114 games and finished 53.5 games behind the Twins in the AL Central.
I think back to some of the glory days of Detroit, to feel sad for the fans in that area.
Yeah, it's always tough when you see this. I mean, I remember as a, you know, a kid, Baltimore always had a good team. You know, Boog Powell, Brooks Robinson, those kind of guys. They lost 108 games. You know, I like the root for the Mariners. They lost 94 games. The Marlins are just an embarrassment to baseball. They lost 105 games. You know, Pittsburgh used to have Willie Stargell and Dave Parker and, you know, just all those kind of guys coming out there. They're dead last with 93 losses. It's like, come on, guys, you know.
And you think that I don't see any room for, I don't see any major improvement for any of those teams for next season either.
No, you know, well, Baltimore and Detroit are still in their, you know, their rebuild mode, so they're not close. Seattle just started theirs, so they're not close. Miami's a joke. It doesn't matter what they do. Pittsburgh, maybe, but they're in a tough division. I mean, the Reds look like they're better, and the Cubs and the Brewers and Cardinals should be just fine. I just don't think they can compete.
No, they really can't. They're Yeah, I still remember fondly the Pittsburgh beating the Yankees in the 1960 World Series and one of the most exciting finishes ever. Maybe not quite as exciting as the Cub game, but if you remember that, well, I didn't know if you were born then, but that was the game that Pittsburgh had a 9-7 lead in Game 7 of the World Series at home against the Yankees. And the Yankees scored two runs in the ninth to tie the game when Mickey Mantle dove into first base before a throw there would have ended the game. And then I'm trying to remember, was it Mazeroski hit a walk-off homer in the ninth inning to win it for them?
Yeah. Yes. So
that was really an exciting game. But I'm not sure now if it was as exciting as the 2016 Game 7, though.
No, probably not, just because we live in the Chicago area. But it was still quite exciting.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
You know.
And the Cubs may eventually go into a rebuild, but I still have my documentary from 2016 plus all seven games of the World Series plus game six of the NLCS as well. So I could always pop those DVDs in and pretend that it's fresh and just happening now. Did I lose you, John? No, John. Hello? Anybody home?